Good morning. Good morning. Wishing you a very Merry Christmas. And I trust you already got my present. Someone had an inquisitive look. Oh, we didn't know we had to get the speaker a present. You don't have to. Don't worry. It's wonderful to be here with you and to celebrate the baptism of Chris and also to be together. I am sorry I missed the Christmas program yesterday. I had some unforeseen circumstances come up. But we know that this time of year is an interesting time of year, just because there's, we say all the typical things, like it's not about the gift giving and the tinsel and the lights and the decorations and all that, and that's true. And we can reiterate all those points, and those are all fine, but I really enjoy putting up our Christmas tree and enjoy the time of year. And so we can truly appreciate, but we can also simultaneously appreciate what the significance of this time of year is. And my message today, as you can see, good news of great joy. And I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I don't have it up on the screen, but Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read from verses 8 to 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." May the Lord bless his word. As we consider this time, and as we wish one another Merry Christmas, as there is a time to get together, I realize we have a diverse congregation. We have a lot of people who maybe in your young days and when you were younger, you maybe were in a country that didn't celebrate it in the same way that it is celebrated here. Maybe you do come from a place where it was well celebrated. And I often ask people throughout the days that I preceding Christmas, and I ask the question, how, what are your earliest memories of Christmas time? I work a lot with seniors, and I always really enjoy listening to what they have to say, because there are some very, very, some very simple memories that they have, but they're precious. And often they point to the simplicity of what their life was like. Whether it was growing up in the Netherlands, which is known as Holland, or in Germany, or in different parts of Europe, where there are some very interesting and beautiful traditions that are part of that. But I know that in places like the Philippines as well, there's some beautiful traditions, even though you're all sweating a little bit there during Christmas time, right? And I grew up in South America, where it was, Christmas was, we're going swimming, because it was a warm time of the year. And so each one of us have different memories. Maybe you have a memory here. And And those are wonderful things. But as you see through my title, Good News of Great Joy. That's the title today because of the fact that that first initial celebration of what is known as the Christmas story was probably just a regular day for a group of people. But it's more than that, right? Christmas is one of the few times of the year when most people rarely who rarely think about God, they pause to consider the Lord Jesus. They you know, we sing songs, candles are lit, and this story is told once again. But Christmas is not meant to be just a tradition we admire, even though we can admire and appreciate those traditions. It is good news, but it's a good news message that requires a response. And that's what I want to speak about today. On the night that Jesus was born, God announced his plan to the world. People didn't know what it was. Didn't understand it, probably. But that was what God was doing. And he chose the most unlikely messengers. He chose the most unlikely audience. And so the angels, they didn't say come and say, I bring you good advice. Everyone likes good advice. But that's what the angels didn't say. They didn't say, they said something very different. I bring you the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It really, and the word good news is also known as a word that we often use, the gospel. And so the gospel is good news to mankind. And so, look, we live in a world today that has bad news. We have bad news almost every day, right? You hear of a plane going down, or you hear of someone who is mentally unstable and they take the lives of others, or you hear people who pronounce or announce awful things, and they'll say things that are cruel and mean, and there's racism, and there's hurt, and there's just an incredible amount of chaos that's created by mankind, that's created not by God, but it's created by mankind. And as we interact with each other, sadly to say, there is something that's lost, and that is the kindness and the compassion that accompanies what the Bible teaches. So today, as we look at the Christmas season, as we look at this time, I want you to be assured that today you're going to hear some good news. Now, good news has a reality component to it, right? It isn't just when we say to someone good news, we say, well, these are the facts, because it has honesty. It has integrity. Good news isn't just something just to, you know, feel good stuff. It's honest. When we turn on a television or we listen to the news, we know that if you listen to a certain channel or a certain group, that they're going to give you their bias. When God speaks, he gives you the facts. But he accompanies it with a love and a tenderness that is real. And I don't know about you, but that is what I'm looking for throughout my life and throughout my days that I live. So as we look at this, we realize that, Christmas isn't just a tradition. It's God's good news to a broken world. We live in a broken world. Now, you might say, well, I'm not sure what that means exactly. Well, take a look at the things around you. I'm not talking about the things that are broken in your home. I'm not talking about a vehicle, even though you might be experiencing that. But brokenness is to do with the relationships we have and the way that we are responding to those. And if you have come with maybe a heart that's a little bit on the tense side today, I want you just to leave it aside. I want you to just to calmly think about what God wants to say to you today. That to receive a message that is good news, that's honest news, and news that can actually transform your life. I don't say that lightly. I don't say it because I'm saying it. It's because I've experienced it. There's many of my friends here, people that are part of this congregation, that have experienced the transformation of Christ in their lives. But it's more to do with what God wants to confirm to you through his word. This story has been told over and over and over again for years. And the wonderful part about it is that it never gets old. It's precious. Now, as we continue, we think about who this message came. Now, first of all, it was a dark world. The announcement came at night, right? It was a dark world. I'd say we live in a dark world. You know, in this last week, since last Saturday night, you know, a week ago, we heard of young people that lost their lives, of people that were celebrating their religious festival. You know, even on the streets of Vancouver, we don't even know what's going on. and things are happening. There's tragedy. But I don't want to maximize that, but I don't want to minimize it. Now, the announcement came to shepherds. It came into darkness. And so as we think about the Lord Jesus, how did he come? Well, the Lord Jesus, he didn't come as a teacher. He didn't come as a king. He came as a savior. Now, what's a savior? A savior is someone who will rescue you from any given situation. Last week in Australia, there was a gunman, and what happened was there was a gentleman who went and he overtook that man and took away his gun. He saved lives, and people called him a hero. He saved lives. So in a sense, he was a savior to possible more destruction. Now, when Jesus came, it's more. It's more than we even realize. Now, why do we need saving? Why do we need saving? Because I know a lot of people that are pretty content with life the way it is. Maybe you're feeling that way. You know, I want to take a look at briefly at Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It's a wonderful verse. It's a well-known verse. Romans 3 and 23, it says this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus didn't come to save us from an inconvenience. He came to save us from sin. Romans 6 and 23, just over a couple of pages, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus didn't come just to take away or to just assuage our guilt. He came to save us from judgment. So it wasn't just for aesthetic purposes, things that are like exterior, things that make you feel good in the moment. See, good news is when it can actually change something that is evil or that is negative or that takes you in the wrong direction. That's the purpose of Christ coming. And also, not from ourselves. Or from ourselves, I should say, not just our circumstances. Jesus didn't come just to, you know, fix everything so just your circumstances change, because sometimes circumstances don't change. He came to say, I can take that soul of yours, that life of yours, and transform it. It's more than a holiday, everybody. It's truly wonderful news. So as we continue, and thinking about the fact that he came into this dark world, the Lord Jesus came, and the angels, as I said, did not say a teacher was born. They said a Messiah, a teacher, or a savior was born. He wasn't a moral reformer or a political leader. But the one thing that we can say is that good news is personal. Good news is personal. Because when you hear something that's brand new, that's it's something about touching your life in a personal way. If I tell you something that some sort of news item, you look at it from a similar point of view, but a different point of view, because it's personal to you. You know, if we say it's going to snow tonight, you know, there's someone here thinking, oh, I got to shovel the walk, right? Another person goes, well, I don't want to go driving in this. Or another person is saying, you know, especially if you're younger, going, yes, it's snowing, right? And they're saying, too bad it wasn't 2 weeks ago when I could have had a snow day from school. There's lots of different ways that we apply it on a personal level. But this is a personal message to each and every one of us. And so it's not just good news about our Savior, but it is personal. Now, Jesus did not come just for a category of people. He came for you. He came for you. It's not vague or a distant message, this message of Jesus coming. It is deeply personal. Now look at Luke chapter 2, verse 11. What does it say? It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's a personal message. So when this message comes to you, for you, maybe you are already a Christian and you're just saying, you know, I've kind of lost my way. Maybe you've distanced yourself from the things of God. I would venture to say, and I hope it's not too bold of a statement, but if that's you, don't ignore it. God is speaking to you. If you have never trusted in the Savior, this message for you. It's for you. It's not a coincidence. Or if it's someone who's been walking with the Lord and you're faithful to God and it's going well in the spiritual sense of life, rejoice in the fact that it's personal to you, that God has come in this way. But Jesus didn't come just for your failures or your fears or your sins in the sense of just those things of He came for you as an individual, all those things combined, bringing you to faith in Him. Now, Christianity isn't about trusting, about working harder or doing something better. You know, it's not about getting an A. It's about trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And it reminds us that God knows us. He knows everything about you. He knows your fears, your failure, your brokenness. He knows your sin. And yet, He still came for us. He still came for you. That's why it's personal. Now, what did Luke chapter 4 and verse 14 say? Luke chapter 2 verse 14 says the following, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. What does that mean? Well, he came to bring peace. Peace with God, the forgiveness of sin, and a restored relationship with him. That's what he came for. Now, as we think about that, this isn't the absence of conflict or trouble. Okay. Often when we think that peace in the moment is going to be, you know, there's an absence of conflict, that no, because conflict still goes on. Trouble still goes on. It's about peace with God. Peace in a personal way with God himself. And so Luke chapter 14, it says, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests, or as the ESV says, on whom he is pleased. Now, what happens because of sin? Humanity is at odds with God, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, our debt is paid. Our debt is paid completely, and our guilt is removed. Our relationship with God is restored, and the peace that is found at Christmas is not found in circumstances, it's found in a person, and that's Christ himself. So if the Lord Jesus Christ rules your heart, we can have peace even when life is unsteady. Can you relate? Is life unsteady? I think for many people it is. I've met so many people in the last little while whose life is just very difficult. I sat and had coffee with a young person on Friday, and we talked about what's going on in their lives, and you know, a really remarkable young person, and yet the choices that they're making with regard to relationships can lead them down a very difficult and destructive path. Now they're at a point in their lives when they can take it back and they can reassess it and make changes. And that's what I said to them. Now I initiated the conversation because I see it. And I said, I hope you don't mind me. This is unsolicited. And I'm giving you unsolicited advice. Fortunately, it wasn't a conflict. They weren't upset with me or anything. Whew, I was a little worried for a moment. But you know, they responded positively, and my prayer is that they will make those proper choices. And I said, you got to put God first in this. He is the God of peace. It doesn't mean that, you know, your parents' divorce will change, or that you know, whatever happens in life over here will change. But you need to concentrate on the God of peace. And that's what Christ brings. Peace with God, forgiveness of sin, and restored relationship. Now, what was the shepherd's response? Okay? There is a response that is required. And what's that? The shepherd's response? The shepherd's response is, first of all, they believed. They actually believed it. It's a pretty miraculous thing. You think to yourself, here we are out in the middle of nowhere, and these individuals, these shepherds looking after the sheep, and it was a special, probably, from what I understand, a special type of sheep. They were actually being raised, just because of the location, being raised for sacrifice for the different things that the Jewish religion required. And so they're out there, and all of a sudden they see this and they believed. Why? Why do we know they believed? Well, they went. You see, being a person that trusts in God and believes and trusts that Jesus came with purpose, it requires a response on your part, and that is to trust the Savior. It requires a certain spiritual get up and go. I mean, some of you have young children, right? And you know, their room's a mess. What do you do? What is one of the things you will say to your child? Well, these clothes aren't going to pick up themselves, right? You've got to get up and pick them up. It's an instruction, and it's a teaching. Well, spiritually speaking, we need that. What did they do? They went. They believed. They worshiped. And they shared. They shared the message. You know, they went to see the Lord Jesus. They worshiped him. And then they shared the news with others. That's the one thing that Christianity can do for us, is sharing that news with another person. Why do we have Sunday services? I mean, why do we have, you had a Christmas program yesterday. Why did the preschool children go down to Columbus Residence as we did last week? Why do we do that? Because we want to share this message of the good news of Jesus. He came. And I, you know, I know many of you, but I don't know a lot of you. But I know that God, he's tapping on the door of your heart. Are you worshiping the Lord because of good news that maybe you've received? Maybe something good has happened in your life in the last week or two. Have you worshiped and thanked the Lord for that? That's a wonderful thing. It's good news when we receive something. Yesterday, I prayed so hard about something, and God answered my prayer. Unfortunately, I missed the Christmas program here, but I was waiting for a package to come at the other church that I work with, and it didn't come for 5 hours, you know? I'm not blaming UPS, but I am mentioning UPS. And so, you know, it was just one of those things. And so I said, Lord, because it said, it'll be there by the end of the day. What's the end of the day? 7, 8 at night? I don't know. I prayed. God answered my prayer. There are also good things that happen when you have a relationship with the living God. You know, even the smallest things like a delivery can excite you. Maybe like someone I heard this week got accepted into university they wanted. Huh? I heard that. That's a wonderful thing. That's something to praise God about and thank the Lord about. And so all of those things are precious. When God is involved in your life, you know, there is a level of joy that I don't believe the world can give you. You know, it's interesting. I heard a statistic here earlier today that someone looked up and used the wisdom of, I think, ChatGPT. And they went and took a look at you know, some of the top things that people want as they make New Year's resolutions. In Canada, it was good health was number one. We live an average of apparently 81.5 years. In the United States, that was number two. Number one was they wanted more money. It's not a slight against the states, I'm just saying, okay? They live an average of 78.5 years. See, material possessions will not satisfy you. And good health is great. But spiritual health is the thing that God wants. And you know what? You don't live an average of 81.5 or 78.5 years. When you trust Jesus Christ, you live eternally.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And that's the truth. And so, you know, that's the good news. I should just sit down because that's the good news. That's so true. But I got to finish because I prepared it, okay? Just relax. No, I'm just kidding. Not too much longer. They believed, they went, they worshiped, they shared. Now, that's what the shepherd's response was. And so the question is, What will you do? What will you do with the good news? You see, that's the gospel. The baby in the manger is also the Savior on the cross. That's the gospel message. And so now it's your turn, and what are you going to do? Are you going to respond to that? The invitation is clear. And that's what we invite you to. That's what the and invite you to. But the baby in the manger is the Savior on the cross, but he came in humility. He died in love, but he also rose again in victory. You know, that's what Christianity can give you. It can give you a victorious life over the conflicts and the things that come in this world and hurt and are difficult to face. I know that some people came and have immigrated here to Canada just in this last year. There's a lot of hurdles, a lot of things that you have gone through. And we pray and trust that you will see the goodness of God and the response of God's people within this local church. But most of all, our desire is that you have peace with God through the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what the Christmas message is all about. When we invite you at Christmas, these are the three things that we want for you: to receive Christ, to believe the good news, and find true joy. That's our heart's desire. That's our gift to you. And that's God's gift, his Son, the Lord Jesus, to give to you. You know, as we close, I want to look at this verse. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, says this: "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You can be born again, become a Christian, follow Jesus. You can frame it whichever way you want. We invite you to that here at Christmas time. Not because, you know, I mean, it's lovely to see a full church. But the end goal, you know, there's lots of churches that have, you know, way more people than we have. We're not in a competition, but we want each individual to say, "I have found my peace with God. I have received the good news of Jesus Christ. And now my life has been transformed because I've received the forgiveness of sins." How do you do that? All you do is just tell God you're sorry for your sins. You ask for forgiveness. And you say, "I believe that Jesus came." You know, Jesus came as a little baby. And you might think, well, why didn't God just send Jesus at 30 years of age, okay? 3 years, done. And I've mentioned this many times before. He came because he didn't need to do that. He could have done it in probably a number of different ways. But he devised this plan so he could identify in every part of life with you. That's loving. When someone identifies with you, you know, there's sympathy and empathy. God can empathize with you with every little detail of life. He was poor. He was rejected. He lost loved ones. He laughed. He cried. He knew how to build. He probably got splinters. He was a carpenter. He was tempted. And he came and he identified with us. And then he gave his life and he rose again. Christmas time, it says here, all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Wouldn't love to be a child of God? All you have to do is believe him. Take his gift, receive it, trust it, and live it We can help you. We can guide you towards that. But it's your response. It's your decision based on what God's word says. And you know what? It tells us that he will save your soul and you will live eternally. So Merry Christmas. My family to yours. I wish you the very best. God's blessing today and for the days to come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this wonderful message of salvation that you have brought us good news. Good news to shepherds who were not highly regarded. Good news to a couple who were under some difficult circumstances. Good news to a nation who was broken and under tyranny. Good news that spread throughout the ages. And here we are on December 21st, 2025, on the brink of a new year. And it's good news. And Lord, we need good news. We thank you for your gospel, for your love. Be with us now as we enjoy a time of fellowship. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon everyone here at Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace at this Christmas time. Merry Christmas.